This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you are among those who think America doesn't make stuff anymore, you got to come to Columbus, Mississippi.
They're opening the door on the furnace now.
This is a steel plant. It's owned by a Russian company called Severstal.
It's like straight out of the gates of hell, man. Oh, and here comes the water.
Jim Bell is one of almost 700 people who work in what is, for some reason, called a mini mill.
The name's a little deceiving.
And you can smell... You smell the burning.
After a while, you don't even smell anything.
Really? I bet you don't hear anything either.
Mini or not, from this plant in northern Mississippi is delivered 3.3 million tons of steel a year. And it is the starting point for our latest installment of our series, American Futures.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Cirrus 435 Sierra Romeo, we got Tango for landing.
The series that we do with Jim Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic, and his wife Deb, it's the American economy by small private airplane. Jim's plane.
Columbus, Mississippi, and the surrounding counties are not where you would expect to see a giant steel mill, a helicopter factory, and all the rest. From 2,500 feet, it looks like a great big expanse, you know, many, many football fields worth of heavy industry under one roof. From ground level, I was reminded of the days I spent in these factories in China. It's the closest I've come to the Chinese industrial experience in the United States.
Columbus is a city that was built on industry, on manufacturing. But the way Jim just described that city today was not the reality of a decade ago when big chunks of the manufacturing in this part of Mississippi just went away.
This was American Trouser. It was a cut and sew garment manufacturer. They have been closed maybe 8 or 9 years.
Brenda Lathan has lived in Columbus most of her life. She had a job in a chemical factory for 13 years. She got laid off when the place was shut down, as a lot of places were back then. And now she works in economic development for the city of Columbus.
This is pretty much your classic rundown factory. I mean, it's literally overgrown with weeds and beer bottles in the parking lot. How many people used to work here?
Oh, they probably had about 300 people at one point in time.
Where did these jobs go?
Overseas, China.
What do you think when you look at this place?
I'm heartbroken. We had a facility here that could employ a large majority of our population, and now we don't have that anymore.
This region lost a third of its manufacturing jobs back in the 90s, jobs that were gone to China and all over the world until this guy came along.
My name is Joe Max Higgins, Jr. I'm the CEO of the Golden Triangle Development Link.
We are standing here in the middle of nowhere, man.
Correct. Or we could say the epicenter of the tire industry. I don't know.
The epicenter of the tire industry. And it turns out, a whole lot more. We're standing on what will eventually be Yokohama Boulevard, named, of course, after the Japanese company. Construction crews are churning up the rich black dirt, building Yokohama's new $1.2 billion tire plant right on the outskirts of town.
I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but who'd have thought that you'd find this in the middle of North Mississippi?
Yeah. Well, you know, people viewed us as, you know, the guys are dipping snuff with no teeth. The girls are pregnant with no shoes. We can't read and write, and half the people burn a cross in somebody's yard on Friday or Saturday night for fun. That's how the world would view us. And all of a sudden, we were building stuff that flies. And I don't mean flies a little bit. I mean flies real well.
Stuff that flies. Airbus picked Columbus for its new helicopter factory back in 2006.
I tell people, I said, from that project on, the people just started, I mean, they started standing up and being proud.
And they grow on each other, right? I mean, you do one and everybody knows you can do it, so.
Yeah. And these other projects are witness to that.
And those projects, including just to pick one, the Israeli firm Stark Aerospace, have brought $4.7 billion in investment and almost 6,000 jobs to northern Mississippi in the past decade.
You got people, though, who don't know that they can build stuff that flies, going out and building stuff that flies, right? There's a workforce question here.
Well, a lot of people say, well, they can't do it. Well, I mean, we went up to the steel mill. We went into what I would consider to be one of the most sophisticated operations industrially I've ever been in. It's where they melt the steel. You had two young men there, one white, one black. Both of them had been in that job for 7 years. That's how long the mill's been in operation. One of them was a sheriff's deputy, and one of them was an offshore worker. And they said, we'd never made steel before in our life, and yet we watched them run the newest, most critical process in that without a hitch.
And they're making what kind of wages?
Before benefits, the last state audit, they were making $80,000 a year average at the plant.
And in an area where the normal household income is what?
$36,000.
So how exactly do you take a sheriff and an offshore oil worker and turn them into high-tech manufacturing workers? The answer is literally just up the road from Severstal Steel. It's in a blue-roofed building that houses the Workforce Development Department of East Mississippi Community College, or EMCC, to the locals.
It's really funny. You can see the connection between the stuff here in the school and the stuff we just saw in the factory.
This is exactly the same. Yeah. The only thing is the size.
Yeah, that's bigger and scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Guy, stop playing over there.
Well, come on. This is all cool stuff.
Raj Shaunak runs the program using helicopters and truck engines and computers donated by the companies that have come to Columbus to help train people to work at those companies. He did it for Severstal, and now he's doing the same for Yokohama, even though that billion-dollar tire factory isn't going to be finished for another year.
Other than Mr. Yamamoto and his assistant, everyone, HR to engineers, have to go through this pathway.
So when Yokohama shows up and their plant is ready to go, they're going to have a fully trained workforce.
Right. Phase one is 500 employees. We are charged to have 5,000 qualified people, 10 to 1.
Wow. Means you're going to have 4,500 disappointed graduates.
Yeah, right?
They have higher skills now. They are more marketable.
They're more marketable to factories like PACCAR. Again, just down the road, Mississippi State Route 82. Because seriously, all these places are actually pretty close together.
Okay, let's walk this way.
Yep.
PACCAR makes truck engines. Semi-truck engines, the big ones, for one out of every 10 semis that are on the road in this country. And they make them right here in Columbus. Scott Blue runs the place.
We're on the cylinder head side of the line right now.
Okay, you know what's interesting? We've been in here for, 30 seconds, maybe a minute? I still have not seen a human being doing anything.
PACCAR is a 500,000-square-foot, 400-employee, heavily automated, high-tech facility. Workers start out making around $20 an hour with full benefits and a 401k.
This is kind of an interesting realization, but I would not be able to work at this place, right? Because I don't have the skills. I don't have the engineering skills. I don't have the computer skills.
Well, you can learn those skills.
I guess.
But that's part of what the community college helps us with. Yeah. Here's a good example.
That good example is a guy named Scott Crowley. His job at PACCAR is cold testing the engines, basically checking them out before they're shipped.
I came from Omnova. I had 23 years in Columbus, Mississippi, but we shut the plant down. It was factory work, but like you said, this new technology they have here with the computers and everything, it's really big change for me.
You worked at another plant for 23 years.
Right.
It closed down.
Right.
So you're a 45-year-old guy, plus or minus, without a job.
Right.
Do you have computer background? Do you have technology background?
Not much at all. But when I got here, I got trained now.
Did you go to college, junior college? What'd you do?
1 year, East Mississippi. And that was it, you know, and I was in forestry, so nothing
in
to do.
Forestry?
Right, yeah. I had nothing to do here. But I was worried that I'd been in a place for 23 years, and their technology was not up to date. I was worried about that, but, you know, they gave me a shot, and I told them, well, I'm hoping to get another 20 years here.
I was just going to say, is this your last job? You're going to do 20 years here?
I hope it is. Couldn't have been asked to be blessed no better than that.
To be clear, what Columbus has done, six new multinationals that have opened up in the past couple of years, has not yet replaced all the manufacturing jobs the city lost. But if you still somehow think manufacturing is dead in this country, like I said, you got to come to Columbus, Mississippi. There is more on American Futures, some great video of Columbus and of those factories, plus where we've gone, where we're thinking about going, and a link to Jim's blog at The Atlantic as well. It's all online at marketplace.org.